All right, that's high-level hating.
Hey, I have a lot of respect for Tennessee Chattanooga.
Do you want to open up with Big 12 talk with Terrell Owens?
Absolutely. I'm going to open it up.
No one's been this passionate about the Big 12 through the entirety of the existence of the Big 12.
Just poo-poo, hey, they're going to go to the Big 12 championship. Oh, yeah, that's some sort of accomplishment. Like, really? Come on, you saw what his program was 2 years ago?
I do like how fired up.
When did I rain on Colorado, though?
This joke over here, who's a Miami fan, they've been out there living and dying with Cam Ward, and they think, no marquee wins whatsoever, and you're going to poo-poo on another program. You ain't even going to the ACC championship.
I probably are, though.
No, you're not.
Dude, you're like not. Sitting around SMU, waiting for Deion SMU, Sanders to come save Florida State.
SMU is undefeated, all right? So stop.
I guess they didn't lose to BYU.
What is going on here?
Games this year, and then come out here and turn their season around, and you just poo-poo on things that are accomplishments.
All I want you to do is admit that the second Deion leaves, you're not going to care as much about Colorado.
I don't care about Colorado now.
Then why are you fighting for their dignity?
Because you guys poo-poo accomplishments all the time.
We're saying they had a great year.
High-level haters. Oh, yeah, Big 12. You said it right out your mouth. Oh, it's Big 12.
There's no one in the conference. Name the teams in the Big 12.
BYU.
That's one.
Kansas State. Iowa State.
A lot of tradition at Iowa State. Shout out Brock Purdy.
Texas State have been more successful than Miami the last 10 years. I bet you bottom dollar on that one. Talk about the Cyclones all you want to.
Oh, yeah, you're locking on the Cyclones.
Baylor. Kansas State.
We're talking football, not basketball.
Texas Tech. We're going down to Lubbock, getting tortillas thrown at you, going down there to dominate them guys. Stop it. High-level hating.
Texas Tech has been relevant since Michael Crabtree.
Those young men are playing their asses off.
What channel is the Big 12 on now?
They play on ESPN. They play on Fox. Big 12, Big 12 Network.
They have a network?
TNT, yeah. TBS. Everybody's got a network. Everybody's got a network.
It's time for you to do the legal.
Big 12 had a network. Half the people couldn't get it, but they had a network. Bring that same energy with T.O. on. I dare you. Crack the mic and do it with T.O.
T.O., what do you think of the Big 12?
I dare you. Poo-poo on Colorado.
He's going to hang up because it's a dumb question.
No. He's going to laugh at you. No, but I asked the first question. Hey, T.O., and I'm going to put you down.
Actually, the first question has to be about pickleball. You know second question could be about the Big 12.
311 Shasky and throw your asses under the bus. Hey, T.O., these guys are poo-pooing on the accomplishments Colorado had this year.
Bonte Hill, Big 12 insider.
Hating.
Bonte. This feels like you hyping up the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, only to have the Atlanta Hawks literally not try.
Well, they had good numbers. They won 3 of 4. They beat Boston and Sacramento.
What numbers does the Big 12 have besides 1 and 2?
I don't know why you're talking when Miami ain't doing nothing.
We're only number eight in the latest rankings.
Cam Ward leaves, you ain't going to have nothing.
Well, that's what the transfer portal is for.
Nobody's going to the games anyway down in Miami and South Beach.
I beg to differ with that one. Were there like 9 people at Doak Walker at their last game?
I don't care. We got a national championship. When the last time you won a national championship?
That was like a whole decade ago.
You guys haven't even been relevant. You don't even got your own stadium. All right?
We don't need our own stadium.
You don't even got your own on-campus stadium.
You guys do, and like 5 people walk into it every day.
So what? They'll be sold out.
I mean, boy,
how many years did we kick your ass in a row? You finally got a win over
the
Florida
State. Pretty sure Miami has the all-time lead in the series.
What team are you currently rooting for?
How many documentaries have been made about Florida State?
What is going on here?
Is this a Florida State?
The documentary is because you guys are cheating so much.
Stop!
Jesus Christ.
Stop!
I just can't believe the hatred, man. These guys just hate. That's what's wrong with society now. All right. I'm sure we're going to get a chat about this in the show meeting today, which we have to stay for. I'd like to rather sleep. You're listening to 95.7 KGMZ FM in AC1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Is T.O.? Get T.O. on. Let's go see what's up. We're going to see what's up. All right, y'all. Keep that same energy with Terrell Owens joins.
I'm waiting for him to call in right now.
Yeah, you better hope he doesn't call in today.
I kind of hope he does. I want to hear about pickleball.
No, oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure you do.
I'm sure you do.
Bring that same energy.
I'm curious. T.O., what do you think of the Big 12 right now? And then he just gives you the weirdest look ever.
Didn't TCU just make the national championship a couple years ago?
Did they, though?
Who didn't get obliterated?
Destroyed.
good. And like Miami.
What was that guy's name? Sonny Dykes?
I swear to God, I hope Miami plays Georgia this year.
Oh, it's going to be ugly.
Oh, yeah. So
it's going to be really, really ugly. Because I'm man up to admit it.
That's right.
Mr. Mike Norvell fan over here.
Keep the same energy.
We're waiting for T.O. to call it is what we're 65 doing.
65-7 was the final.
Okay, but they got there, though.
They
right?
beat Michigan in that New Year's Eve game. Because I remember watching that at the River.
And C.J. Stroud had a hell of a performance and a loss to Georgia leading up to that.
Exactly.
Yeah, for Ohio State.
Clint Johnson got first-round draft status for that game against Michigan, cooking their asses in Harbaugh.
And Harbaugh now coaches him for the Chargers. So there you go.
Wow.
Circle of
mind
life.
Blown. I'm sorry, I can't keep up with the conferences.
How about those Niners, though, guys? Am I right? Like, they're last in their division, but they're only a game out of first place.
Sounds like the Giants. They're almost near 500. Could they go on a run for that fifth wild card spot?
Man, negativity sells, man. Wow. I need to retire, man. I need to go be a professor, TCC journalist, on how not to be like you guys.
What, nuanced?
No.
Honest?
High-level haters. Being high-level haters.
I, Sam Ludman, will never lie to you.
Ludman was hating on the Warriors for the season. I'm not even excited. Is the team even better?
I don't know how they're going to be
even
better.
Care.
You're saying, they're going to be great. They're going to be 50
Stop
wins,
talking,
mister. This team's going to go on a run last year.
I'm talking to Shasky, dude. Get T.O. on the line, man.
I'm trying to get T.O. He's supposed to call us.
He's supposed to be the producer. Produce the show, please. Shasky, man.
You guys are all over the place. Oh, my God.
Don't be mad because I'm right and you're wrong.
Hey, who would you take right now for the next 3 years? I'm starting a team from scratch. LaFleur or Shanahan?
You like that question, huh?
I'm taking Shanahan. I seen him build a team from scratch. Although, what LaFleur has done these last 2 years is very impressive.
It is.
And I don't want to sound like I'm hating on him. I did at one point think that he was overrated because I thought Aaron was that good. But no. Like, he has swayed my opinion, and I've now come over to the side of, I think he's a really, really, really good coach and clearly understands how to utilize the talent that he has. And I really like him as a coach. And he's grown on me a lot, but I'm still taking Shanahan. I think what Shanahan has built and sustained over the 8-year period is super impressive.
You know, LaFleur kind of reinventing himself, and we all thought it was his fault. We got the image of the NFC Championship game where he elects to kick the field goal late in the game, and Aaron Rodgers allows it to happen. They don't go for it. They don't get the ball back. They get called for a pass interference on Brady and company, and Brady and company go to the Super Bowl, and they go win it. And a lot of people were doubting out on LaFleur, called him soft and everything like that. But to deal with the Aaron Rodgers saga, as we see now, that Aaron Rodgers is a lot to handle. He's a lot to deal with.
The Jets might tell him to go away next year.
Woody Johnson apparently wanted him benched.
That's crazy.
Like, just bench him, which is insane, right? To reinvent himself and believe in his young quarterback in Jordan Love. Now, Jordan Love hasn't had a great season. Who's had a better year? Brock Purdy or Jordan Love? Jordan Love's getting $222 million. He can't stay on the field right now. And he's throwing some bad. What, he's having 11 picks? I think he leads the league of picks.
I think he gets a second sum of money that would equate to a total of $75 million guaranteed right around the next week or two.
Okay.
That's a lot of cash.
That's a lot of cash.
That's a lot. For a handful of great starts.
A lot of money. But LaFleur, building this young wide receiver squad, or having this young wide receiver in core, reinventing himself, going out and getting the defensive coordinator, firing his friend as a DC, bringing in old boy from Boston College. LaFleur's done a hell of a job with Green Bay keeping up relevant. A hell of a job.
Three quarterbacks tied with 11 interceptions, by the way. Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, Geno Smith.
Wow.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, he's going to have to reduce the amount of turnovers, and that's the Farvian quality of him, because there's times that his mannerisms look like Aaron Rodgers, but right. Some of his ball selection looks more like... I'm sorry.
I got to bring in my guy. All right,
back off the mic.
The Hall of Famer. And he comes in at a perfect time. We're going to talk some pickleball. We're going to talk celebrity pickleball bass in San Francisco during the All-Star weekend out here in San Francisco when the Golden State Warriors host the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, Saturday, February 15th to 16th. Celebrity pickleball bass with T.L., Chris Mullin, Brady Chastain, Hunter Pitts, and much, much more at San Francisco's iconic Warfield Theater. But T.L., good morning, as we welcome you in on the River Islands guest line. I want to start here. because I see at Folsom Field in Colorado and what Primetime, Shador, Travis Hunter, and what Sapp and everybody's done up there in Colorado. I think it's amazing that you guys are in the Big 12 mix for the Big 12 championship with a big game in Kansas this week or at Arrowhead Stadium against Kansas. And I got my fellas alongside of me, just basically high-level hating on Colorado, saying, oh, it's not a big accomplishment if they win the Big 12. I think it's a hell of an accomplishment for what Deion Sanders has done with that program over the last 2 years. But you know what, T.O.? You know about the haters. The haters are always going to come out in full force, right? What you guys have done in Colorado has been amazing.
Absolutely. Haters are going to hate, man. If you got hate on your heart, man, I guess just let it out. Let it out.
That's what they do it, T.O. They say that if you guys don't win the Big 12, it's not much of a big accomplishment because of the conference. And I say, to hell with that. That's a major accomplishment if you guys go out and win the Big 12 championship.
They've exceeded expectations considering, you know, Deion is basically what he's doing in Colorado is pretty much a carbon copy of what he's done with now his second program, you know, taking over from Jackson State there in Mississippi, you know, obviously rebuilding that program and then doing it essentially the same thing there in Boulder. So again, every time that Deion does something exceeding and abundantly above the expectations, people want to move the goalposts for him. I'm familiar with that type of treatment. But other than that, Deion has those guys focused. Those guys are 8-2 in the conference right now, 8-2 record. They're doing well in the conference. Every week, you know, Deion has those guys, you know, ready to play, have those guys concentrating on one game at a time. Obviously, like you said, they didn't start out very well, but obviously when you have a nucleus of new guys rebuilding a new program, what they needed last year to even compete, and that's what they're doing now, competing with the guys or the big guys up front, the offensive line, defensive line, Coach Livingston, that defensive coordinator with the addition of some veteran guys. When you talk about Hall of Fame guys and guys that have played in the league, they have basically turned the mentality of that defensive front. Basically, they are holding that team down. And Warren Sapp is holding those guys accountable up front, and he has those guys humming, coming around the edges, attacking the quarterback, you know, stopping the run. And we're not even going to – I mean, we could go on and on about Travis Hunter and what he's doing on the defensive side as well as the offensive side of the ball.
I want you to go on because these guys are just hating so hard, T.O. It kind of drove me crazy. But let's talk. Go ahead, Shasky. I'm done.
With all these coaching vacancies in the NFL, obviously Shador is going to be one of the top picks. Could you see maybe the Dallas Cowboys wanting to not only bring in Deion Sanders but also draft Shador? I know they have Dak Prescott under contract. Have you talked to Deion about that, you know, the opportunity to maybe coach his son in the NFL?
I mean, I'm aware of the circulating and the speculating rumors or what have you, but honestly, I think it's so unfair for Deion and that program, Rick George, the AD there. I think it's so unfair to insert this type of ridiculousness really at the juncture of the season that they're in right now. Let these guys, like Deion has only been there 2 years. Let him finish out the season, and if that comes into play, let it come into play, but I don't think that's fair right now. Honestly, that's just a big distraction. And again, I've already said if there was an opportunity, because everybody's been talking about possibly him, leaving, uprooting Boulder and going to Florida State. I think that if there is an opportunity, and if there's an opportunity for him to go anywhere, Dallas would be that situation, but I don't think it's fair right now for us or even Deion to even consider that, considering there's unfinished business there in Boulder, Colorado right now. Again, they're leading the Big 12. Nobody expected them to be 8-2. They should be 8-1. The only butt whipping they took was against Nebraska. They definitely should have beat K-State, and they lost by 3 points, and they didn't even, and Travis didn't even play that game. So you factor in Travis playing a game, that's a W. So literally, they could be 9-1 right now. But at the end of the day, Deion is not going to consider or even entertain, you know, all these rumors at the moment. And then I think when that comes, like I said, when that situation comes, he'll cross that bridge when he needs to.
Terrell Owens here on the River Islands guest line, 995.7 The Game. And we're going to talk some pickleball here. And, you know, my man Chris Mullen, we had him on a couple weeks ago, and I get to work with him every day covering the Golden State Warriors. Uh-huh. He brought you up, T.O. He goes, man, I love that, T.O. He's a great player. Uh-huh. He's competitive. What got you into pickleball here? Because I can't wait to see you here at the Celebrity Pickleball Pass. What can't you do, T.O.? You love pickleball now, too?
Yeah, man, I'm in it to win it, man. I'm grinding. I'm taking a few lessons every time that I get on the court, pickleball court. I'm getting better and better. Even with people that see me, I was just in Houston earlier in the week, and I didn't have anything to do, so I tried to find some pickleball courts, and all the courts in Houston were outdoor, and I finally found an indoor court. Drop shots in Houston, Texas. Ran up there, met the owner, the guy Sean. He took some time, you know, got me a court, got me on there, and they had a couple of games being played, and then some pro guys, and so they watched me for over an hour. And they saw progressively how I got better and better as I played. And then we stayed, you know, after probably hit some balls about probably like 45 minutes. And like I said, just gave me some tips on just to kind of add to my athleticism. The pickleball game is new. I'll credit that to Marcellus Wiley. He has a foundation that he does pretty much throughout the course of the year. And he has a pickleball court at his house. It's invite only. And he's been asking me, you know, throughout the years, like, man, come to pickleball. And finally I went probably like about 5 months ago. And he asked me, had I played? I'm like, no. I was like, I've never played in my entire life. I said, I've heard about it. I understand pickleball is one of the fastest growing sports. I mean, people are playing pickleball faster than they're buying Teslas back in 2020. So again, that's how I got into it. Thanks to Marcellus. Again, he has some guys that, like I said, are more experienced than I am, and I was at that time. But when I played, some of the people that asked me, they were like, yo, how long have you played? And I'm like, literally, this is my first time. And they thought I was lying. Jenna Bandy, she's like an obviously influencer, very good athletic female. She plays everything as well. And she was in awe that I was, I wouldn't say that good, but I was better than she thought, considering that was my first time on a pickleball court and the way that I was playing. So now I can say I have the pickleball bug. Huh? I will be, like I said, trust me, I'm going to be on a pickleball circuit. I was just in Puerto Rico for a pickleball event. There I met some of the top pickleball players over there in Puerto Rico.
Did you size them Andre, up?
No, I'm nowhere near where they are, but by the time, by the second or third day that I was there, everybody saw. They was like, "Yo," they were like, "Dude, you've gotten better since the first game that they saw me." So they paired us up with different random people there because it was a charity event. But they saw that, again, progressively, I got better. You know, every time that I stepped on a pickleball court.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, man. And I'm not surprised. You're a 1% of 1% of 1% elite athlete. We just had Woody Page on, who, you know, on ESPN covered the Broncos for many years, and we were just talking about Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan and, like, kind of the fatigue, I guess, that set in Denver before, you know, he ended up going to a different team. Do you get that sense from the Niner players or the Niner culture right now that there's a fatigue, or is it just a hangover from the Super Bowl last year?
No, I don't think so. I think every year is different, and I think that's what everybody has to understand. There's not going to be a year like the year before. And obviously, like I said, with the type of players that they have, obviously there's high expectations to get back to that point. But no 2 years are alike. You have injuries that will factor into the way the guys are playing, the record. Every year there's an influx of, like, you know, you got draft picks, you got free agents. Everybody has to fill in. Everybody has to, you know, have some continuity, some chemistry. Again, you look at Christian McCaffrey. Again, if he was healthy, would they be different had he played, you know, early on? Probably so. So again, that probably factors in too. You got the guy Jordan Mason, the guy that came, the undrafted free agent. He came in and started to play well. Now he's hurt. So now, as an offensive coordinator, you got to figure out ways to to make up for the lack of production and that firepower that you have on offense. You lost Brandon Ayuk. Again, the contract situation that he had, and obviously, like I said, the chemistry, him coming back, not really playing up to his standards. Then he get hurt, gets hurt. So now you're trying to plug and play. So, again, everybody's going to be spoiled based on what they've done the last 2 or 3 years. But at the end of the day, can they right the ship by the time the playoff starts to roll around toward the end of the season? Can they get themselves in a situation to play solid football going into the playoffs?
Well, it starts this Sunday as we're talking to T.O. in Green Bay. We'll get back to the celebrity pickleball basketballs. We've got more info on that. But Brock Purdy, what are you seeing for Brock Purdy? He's scrambling a lot. Seems like receivers are not getting open. Or is that just a byproduct of Purdy just rushing to get out of the pocket? What have you seen from the quarterback of the Niners, T.O.?
I mean, as a quarterback, I mean, you're only going to go and do things that you're comfortable with. And if the protection is breaking down, if receivers aren't getting open, again, he's used to a certain caliber of receivers that he's been playing with throughout the course of the year and getting open. And if those guys aren't getting open for whatever reason, then he either has to get out of the pocket, try to make some plays with his feet. If those guys are open, of course, he's going to throw the ball. I don't think he's just running just to be running. I'm sure there's a lot of things that factors into why he's taken off more so than ever now. Again, Juwan Jennings, he's been the brightest spot on that offense, you know, since day one of this year. And I think, again, Juwan Jennings can only do so much. Juwan Jennings is a playmaker. I don't see him as a game changer. You have guys like game changing playmaking and game changing ability. That's your Christian McCaffrey that can take any play at any given point during the course of a play and make something happen. That's not your Juwan Jennings, but he's been super productive. He's been the brightest star, brightest spot on that offense. So again, obviously, like I said, again, I'm going to be redundant. Every year is not going to be the same. Again, you're playing with different pieces every week, and until that, there's some continuity, some chemistry. There's not going to be any offensive production that you're expecting.
What do you make of fans wanting to fire Shanahan? He's been highly successful. He's in his eighth year. He had a 54-29 record entering this season over the last five. What do you make of fans wanting to fire their head coach when things are not going well?
Well, fans should stay in their seat and be fans. They're not GMs. That's all I can say. It's easy to say that and want to discard or just uproot a coach because things aren't going the fans' way. But again, like I said, that's why you separated it. There's players, there's football players, there's fans. You come there, you root on your team. Yeah, I understand the fan support. You want your teams to win. You want your players to play the best. But again, stay in your lane. I don't think this is a reason to just uplift and uproot a coach because things aren't going well. It's been an up and down season, but you got to factor in, again, a lot of the injuries, a lot of the new pieces coming in. You can't just write that shit right away. This is not a plug and play. It's not a video game that you can put somebody in and then they can obviously duplicate the ability or the production of somebody that was playing in right before them. That's just not how the game works.
T.O., you referenced Juwan Jennings earlier, and I'm 100% with you. Like, what Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and those guys, I mean, they get, like you, could take one on a slant 80 yards on any given play, right? And that really was the separator for the elite players. But Juwan Jennings is nasty. And with all respect to the other wide receivers that have played since your time in San Francisco, Bolden and Crabtree and the current crop of Ayuk and Pearsall and Debo and whatnot, Jennings is the only guy that's got that nasty stiff arm that you had. I mean, you and him, obviously you were way faster and just a dynamic player, but I see a lot of the things that you brought in terms of that nasty, physical breaking tackle stuff from Juwan Jennings. I love watching this guy play.
Absolutely. Again, like I said, I think the only thing that he lacks again is that breakaway speed. You know, taking, you know, like I said, he has the physical attributes to do some of the to bring some of that physicality to the game. But you know, obviously taking your short and intermediate routes, taking it to the house. He obviously has a catch radius. He can make plays. He can go up, like I said, take 50-50 balls and turn those to 80-20. You know, per him. So again, I've seen that and watched it in a progressively. And again, this guy, like I said, he's going to make himself some money somewhere. I know he's on a, I don't know what his contract situation is, but obviously, like I said, he's auditioning. Obviously, he's playing well for the Niners. But again, if you looked at it at the beginning of the season, and obviously with the Brandon Ayuk situation, contract situation looming at that time, I told my son, I'm like, I'm watching him play. I'm like, yo, he's playing like he's the $30 million a year type of guy. And Brandon Ayuk, like I said, come back. I don't know if it was an in-shape thing, but obviously things factored in the way that they did. But again, Jennings was the, like I said, the lone bright spot of that offensive unit of the San Francisco 49ers. And again, like I said, if he's right now is a focal point. Obviously, you got Kittle's. He's been battling injuries here and there. Debo is not really playing up to Debo standards. Debo is more, seems like he's more focused on his pregame attire than he is actually the game. So again, if we can shift that focus, you know, maybe that can energize and create some more production from an offensive standpoint. I'm just kind of tongue in cheek with that, but again, Juwan Jennings, like I said, to your point, dynamic player. Like I said, the only thing I think he lacks is, like I said, is that game-changing ability. Yeah, he's a playmaker, go up, make plays, but can, like I said, he can only do so much. He needs somebody else to complement what he's doing from an offensive standpoint. Like I said, the running game has to come along the way as well. So I'm sure the more games that Christian gets back on the field, he can get back in there and get back to himself, then you'll probably see that offensive firepower that everybody's expecting as the season wears on.
Last one for you, T.O., the pickleball tournament. I can't wait. Mully talks about it. He's into it. Rick Barry's into it. The biggest celebrity pickleball event in the world happening February 15th and 16th at the iconic Warfield Theater right here in downtown San Francisco. And, T.O., I got to ask you lastly, what makes this event so damn special and different?
Man, get your pickleball ready. Yo, get your pickleball ready. I'm going to be in the house. Trust me. This is not just a celebrity event. This is just not for fun. It's a hell of a workout, number one. Uh-huh. Every time that I play, I am drenched. Every fiber of my clothes that I have on is soaked. So, again, this is going to be fun. Like I said, it's going to be star-studded. It's going to be some firepower and some star power in there. The building is going to be electric. Again, like I said, it's going to be at Warfield Theater. You're going to have the likes of, you've already mentioned some of the celebrities like Brandon Chastain, phenomenal soccer player like Champion, myself, Hunter Pence, Chris Mullen. If you want to come, go to celebritypickleballbash.com. Go to the link, check it out, be there in the house. And by the time February rolls around, there's no telling who may be in the house at this point. Because again, I'm bringing some star power and I'm bringing some athleticism. Trust me, I'm going to be one of the top. I'm pushing to be one of the top pickleball. Now, if I consider myself a celebrity, but I'm trying to be one of the top celebrity, not even pickleball players in the world.
Yeah, forget trust the celebrity. Players, T.O. I believe you.
Absolutely. I've met a lot of those guys. Tyson a couple weeks ago, played at the Dirk Nowitzki, played at their pickleball event there in Dallas. I attended the PPA tournament, got to see some of the top women play, some of the top men play. Bro, like it is unreal. Hayden, one of the he's like 17, 18. He's like one of the top pickleball players. Man, it was unbelievable. That day, literally, I got so juiced. I stayed. I was gonna leave. I stayed an extra day. I came. I ended up playing like 6 hours of like pickleball. I played damn near with every pro player that wanted to play pickleball. After hours, and the next day, dude, I was so sore. Knees, back. I didn't want to do nothing but just hydrate. I started to cramp up. That's how much pickleball I've been playing. I was cramping up just playing in some of the games.
Well, Chris Miller loves you. He speaks highly of you. He's like, dude, I met T.O. He's about that life, man. He's competitive. He can't wait to play with you. Tickets now at celebritypickleball.com. Celebrity Pickleball. PickleballBash.com. Tickets start at $49. Yeah. CelebrityPickleballBash.com. $49. You're in the house with Jalen Brunson, Anthony Anderson, Mario Lopez, Jesse James Decker, Eric Decker. We're going in the house too, Shazzy. We got to go see T.O. play pickleball. If you play as well as you did on the football field, then there's no telling where you could go. Pickleball Hall of Fame next, T.O.?
Absolutely. Dude, I'm so engulfed. I'm so into it, bro. I got my clothing line, Prototype 81. I've even created and collaborated with the CPB. We have gear. We have merch that is coming. I got hats. Dude, I got shirts. I got shorts. I mean, it's going to be nice, dude. I'm telling you.
Oh, we out there. We're there.
We got some. We designed some new pickleball gear. I got some of my own merch that I already. Man, it's gonna be dope. Trust me. Hall of Fame. I come.
You don't lie, T.O. We trust you, and we know about the 81 Vito White as well. T.O., we got to run, man. Always good catching up with your brother. We'll do it again before the Celebrity Pickleball.
Thanks,
Bash.
T.O.
Get your pickleball ready.
Let's go. T.O. right here on the River Islands got something. We got to run and react. He said a lot there. A lot. Oh, what a show this has been. Oh, my gosh. This is one of my favorites. More coming up on the roast.
Debo is not really playing up to Debo standards. Debo is more, seems like he's more focused on his pregame attire than he is actually the game. So again, if we can shift that focus, you know, maybe that can energize and create some more production from an offensive standpoint. I'm just kind of tongue in cheek with that.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
That's more, let's make sure before we put it on a show.
I said this to Sam in the hallway.
Get the tongue in cheek.
Make sure it says it in the caption.
Right.
Because I don't want T.O. coming back to us and never coming back on.
And that's not right. That's not right. He said in tongue in cheek.
It was a joke, which I appreciated.
Yeah, it was a joke.
I included the tongue in cheek part.
Please, you know.
It's already on social.
God. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Well, it's a good thing you're not on X anymore. You're on Blue Sky.
No, I am on X. I get tagged into stuff, and I...
But you're active on Blue Sky. You're not on X.
No, let me see what it looks like on X. Let me see.
I mean, are we not supposed to post it? He said it. Like, what's wrong with that?
Hey.
We put the tongue-in-cheek part. He said it.
I say that cut-in-cheek. I would start the tweet by saying disclaimer.
No, he said what he said, and we posted it.
Florio style. I said what I said.
What do we do? Are we protecting the guy? What does he mean? He's T.O.
We just had him catch. But you guys don't get the blowback. We get the blowback. We get the blowback. We get the blowback. Oh, man. These guys are out here searching. You guys out here thirsty for clout.
We're going to get that one.
That was a callback. I mean, just Patoni. I'm just a man like Brian Palato. Just a man.
Jassy, I'm just a man.
I'm not a GM or a comedian. Oh, what?
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
Wouldn't we all like to be one? Oh, man. Here's the tweets already out, huh? Damn, you could wait. You had to get other tweets out, man. You'd be waiting 6 hours.
Sam's on it today. So,
something gets juicy. Oh, man, let's get that out there in 2.5 seconds. Oh.
It is the society we live in. Go back to sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
I asked the real hard question that he was like disrespectful to even suggest that regarding the Dion and Shador. I thought it was a fair question, you know. That's what I do. I give the hard hitting journalistic questions on this show. Someone's got to do it.
Well,
it's the cross I bear.
All the ass kissing you do, about time you ask us some hard hitting questions.
Oh my God.
All the smooching.
I actually enjoy the uncomfortable questions.
I do too.
The reason why is like, A, the tapestry of how I fumble across my words before I spit out a stupid question that I already know the answer is probably going to be boring. But there's just
how
something.
How did this become about you?
It's riveting.
Can I ask, how did this somehow, some way become
what
about
you? What are you talking about?
How did it leave that to you and your questions?
Well, yeah, I mean, you went in on the Colorado for 12 months.
You brought in the coach. We were talking about coaching. Then we started talking about your coaching career. We started talking about, you are one of a kind, man. I love you.
I mean, I've been coaching for 20 freaking years. You know? Don't talk about it. Be about it. You know? I'm about that life.
Oh, man, I don't talk about coaching. I coach for 1 year.
That's why, like Tio said, I stay in my lane.
I stay in my lane, too.
Dante, you're doing great.
You know, what did you make of that? You're the big fan. What did you make of that?
Which part?
Tio said, fans need to stay in their lane. I asked about, you know, what about the fans wanting Shanahan fired and da-da-da-da. Get that quote. What did he say? Fans need to stay in their lane. What'd you make of that?
No, I disagree. Actually, and in fact, Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce had a podcast earlier today where they said the reverse opposite. And he would tune into WIP, and Jason Kelce would say, this is the radio station in Philadelphia, that no, actually, the radio stations and the podcasts and all that stuff, it's a reflection of how the fans are feeling. And they may not be educated as to what's going on in the building, and they may not even be right. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But like, it's a reflection of the paying audience. So like, I think T.O.'s point of view is his point of view, and I get where he's coming from. But no, I disagree. Like, we're the consumers, and to a degree, if the fervor wasn't there from the consumers, you wouldn't have the television deals and the money, and the trickle down effect would, like, it just, do you have it on the board on the listen to what Jason Kelce said.
You know what? I was listening to WIP this morning. I think the Eagles fuck is WIP. WIP is the local, like, big sports talk show station in Philadelphia.
So they're the ones that have been shitting on them.
Well, they control a lot of the narrative, but I will say they usually are. I think WIP is pretty much, for the most part, I don't want to say for the most part, WIP is oftentimes just a reflection of what the fan base truly thinks about the team.
Yeah, that's how you keep the fans involved.
Sometimes they are wrong.
That's how you keep them listening.
Sometimes they are wrong.
See, that's what I mean. I told you, Sirianni is done.
They're also, it tends to be the loudest fans, which, you know, hey, listen, I go on WIP. I like listening to WIP for these exact reasons. I like hearing those perspectives. But I think Nick was facing a lot of criticism for the end of last year and early on this year. He made a lot of fourth down calls that just haven't gone their way. And he's faced a lot of criticism for that. A lot of fans have been saying, you know, what is he? It is. It's very unfair.
It's so f-
And Nick is really, that narrative is starting to flip. Obviously, when you win games, that's all people care about.
So Travis Kelce's just laughing.
Well, he's also laughing. Legend that hasn't really had a lot of scrutiny. No. I mean, they've won nothing but championships.
But he's also laughing at the fact that he's like, these fans have a voice. Like, these fans are so loud. And he's like, when Jason Kelce brought up, well, the fans want to know, what does Nick Sirianni really do? And Travis Kelce kind of laughed like, they have no idea what goes on since inside the building.
No one's saying that they do.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying with Travis Kelce.
Yeah, they have completely different polar opposite points of view. I appreciate it. I think what is great about it is, like, Travis, you're in a small market where the Chiefs are the kings of that area, especially right now, right? Whereas WIP with the Eagles, like, well, it's football, and so it's crazy, but we know that the Philadelphia radio scene is crazy. I think that WIP, similar to 95.7 The Game, is a reflection of how the fans are feeling. And I think that's a badge of honor.
I don't know about that. I think people who call radio shows are not the direct reflection of the fans, because there's a lot of fans who think a lot of people are ridiculous who call sports talk radio fans. I would push back on that. Now, I do think the lunatic fringe and everything like that, sure. Yes, they represent that aspect of the fan
base. I'm not talking just callers.
I don't think they just reflect everything with a fan. Not callers, texters, or people who don't call and just listen. I don't think it's a reflection of every single fan or most of the fans. Like, we talk about Clay Thompson, right? Our sports talk radio station, and we took a lot of calls, and it felt very anti-Clay. Well, you go out and about, and a lot of people are like, dude, we love Clay. He's a legend, blah, 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 blah. So I don't think it's a total reflection of the fan base.
No, I'm saying the conversations that we have, not necessarily just the callers. I think the conversations and the tone and how we're feeling. And again, there are times where I act a certain way or I feel a certain way, and you disagree, and the audience might disagree. But I think for the most part, like he was saying, Jason, and this is just how I feel, I do feel like we are a reflection of the fan base. Are we the loudest reflection? That probably is correct.
Yeah.
That I would agree with. It would probably be the most amplified voices.
You got the cut of Tio. Tio, what do you make of fans wanting Kyle Shanahan to be fired?
Well, fans should stay in their seat and be fans. They're not GMs. That's all I can say. It's easy to say that and want to discard or just uproot a coach because things aren't going the fans' way. But again, like I said, that's why you separated it. There's players, there's football players, there's fans. You come there, you root on your team. Yeah, I understand the fan support. You want your teams to win. You want your players to play the best. But again, stay in your lane. I don't think this is a reason to just uplift and uproot a coach because things aren't going well. It's been an up and down season, but you got to factor in, again, a lot of the injuries, a lot of the new pieces coming in. You can't just write that shit right away. This is not a plug and play. It's not a video game that you can put somebody in and then they can obviously duplicate the ability or the production of somebody that was playing in right before them. That's just not how the game works.
Would you make it that? They should just sit in their seats and enjoy the game.
Well, that's absurd. I mean, like part of why people like love the NFL is because they all fancy themselves a fantasy GM. And there's an emotional stock in each of the players. Part of why you love your team is that you're emotionally invested. And so, you know, I think it's easy to say, stay in your lane. It's like, nah, man. Like the guy who's working as a whatever, contractor or whatever, making $100,000 a year and he's spending $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 on his season tickets and the amount of time to drive down there and watch all the games and pay for all the different packages now that the NFL are on. Like, not only are they emotionally invested, they're financially pot committed. So I would just disagree with him on that.
Yeah, he's saying that you're not a GM, that, and it was a response to wanting to fire Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, he's saying that Kyle is a hell of a head coach and he can't just, because you're going through one turbulent season after advancing to the Super Bowl. And a lot of people say, well, he's had the most talented roster. He can't win with this roster. Well, who put the roster together? Who put this roster together? How come? How did he become so talented? Well, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch coming together and drafting all these great players and being able to attract great players. They helped build this roster to be great. So it's his roster. He put it together. So that argument I always kind of laugh at. And, you know, the whole firing of Kyle Shanahan, we haven't talked about it much because I think it's absolutely absurd. But that's basically what Tio's saying it's absurd. Well, and some fans should maybe just stay in their lane and not comment on certain things like this. And they're going to comment on it. They're going to say things and say wild things. I got no problem with that. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. That's basically TL saying it's ridiculous.
Well, I would ask TL, was it ridiculous for Giants fans to ask for Farhan to not be the head of the Giants? It was hurting their bottom line.
You should have asked TL that.
No, I'm just saying, like, does he mean Kyle specific? Stay in your lane? If that's the case, then I agree.
It was Kyle specific. I asked him about Kyle Shanahan.
So, like, for, like, Cowboys
fans. Obviously,
if
there's going to be a coach, T.O. had plenty of beefs with other coaches.
Oh, I know that.
And other coaches are like, yo, this guy needs to
Mooch.
Go. This guy needs to go. He's not good. And he still can't stand Mooch. So if we asked him, hey, Farhan, what are your thoughts on that? He would have probably said Farhan's got to go.
Exactly.
He never played. But in terms of Kyle Shanahan and what he's done with the 49ers,
yes.
T.O. thinks it's absolutely absurd. Yeah, and I'm with T.O. in that aspect.
And I agree with you, because his resume is comprehensive. Whereas Mike McCarthy, similar to I think actually McCarthy's been pretty successful, but it's clearly not working anymore, right? It's time to go. You know, it's time to go in Dallas, and the fans want him out. And whether Jerry feels that pressure or not, they're still printing money. I don't know if they have the leverage to be able to pull that. I do believe it's not the main reason, but part of why the Giants made the decisions that they did, the fans were not happy.
You know, we had some great guests today. Cam Ibbett was awesome. He set the tone. And him saying that this is the most disappointing season he's covered with the 49ers. It's like, wow, he's covered his team a lot. He sees some bad teams, some good teams. Most disappointing. Whoa. You get Woody Page. He's seen Mike. He thinks Mike needs to take a step back. He needs that Kyle needs to go to Brian Griese a little bit more and, you know, lean on him a little bit more with the San Francisco 49ers and not Mike Shanahan. And Mike Shanahan needs to just, hey, chill in Mexico and San Francisco and just let Kyle do his thing. Need to get T.O. Like, hey, tongue in cheek, but Debo, it's time to lock in. You know, we love your pregame fits, but are you more locked in on that and Kay Adams, or are you more locked in on maybe taking a quick sled to the house 70 yards?
Have they done another Ayuk Debo with Liv Moods on Bleacher Report? Have they done another episode since
that? Kittle was on there. I think they still do.
I didn't know if they were still doing that.
It wasn't going too well. He still does up at Adams.
Don't you think that today, and that's why I'm going to be so locked into Steiny and Goo, is Brock Purdy going to practice today? Is he going to throw a football? Is Bosa going to practice today?
We shall find out.
Aren't we going to find out soon? Like, they've got to be on the field soon.
Yeah, we'll find out when they hit the practice field today.
So I'll be tapped into Sonny and Gil.
The latest episode of Cleats and Convos with Debo Samuel, he had Josh Downs on the podcast yesterday to talk about Anthony Richardson. And the growth of Anthony Richardson.
Josh Downs is balling.
Did you see the Jonathan Taylor quote about that? Jonathan Taylor was asked about Anthony Richardson. They're like, Anthony Richardson was coming in and doing all of his work, but he didn't realize... To be the quarterback, you can't just come in and do all the work. You have to go above and beyond. So he started eating his lunch with all the coaches. And in the film room during lunch, he'd come in before everyone was getting there. It wasn't that he wasn't working. It's that the requirements of a young quarterback and any quarterback in the league to be great, you have to go above and beyond everyone else. You have to literally be there at the beginning before anyone's there, stay longer than everyone, eat, sleep, and breathe it. And so like he was talking about his dedication, and Jonathan Taylor was like, you can't just be one of the guys. You have to be more than one of the guys. It was interesting. It was really interesting regarding Anthony Richardson.
All right. Let's get to Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
My final thoughts is drive safe and put on your rain gear. You know, I got my duck boots on today so that I can go through all the puddles on my 8-block walk.
How about you just avoid the puddles on the 8-block?
Well, that's why I got the duck boots on. I'll walk right through them.
Like baby LJ.
I'm looking for boots for him. I went to the Old Navy store. They didn't have any. Although he dunked his first basketball yesterday.
My final thought. Let's go Colorado. Going to Arrowhead. Go beat the Kansas Jayhawks. They got this cornerback talking mess about Travis Hunter. Go do what you do, Colorado. I doubted you. The world doubted you. Hey, it's my final thought. You cut me off. You cut me off with my final thought. What's going on around here? Go Buffs. Go win that Big 12 championship and get to the college football playoff. And let people like Lovett and Shasky tell you, you ain't really accomplished nothing because you played the Big 12. Don't listen to people like that. Dion, Shador, Shiloh. High-level haters are coming your way. Fast and furious. You know what to do. Go get the dub. And then tell the haters. What did Shaq tell Kobe? Kobe, how my ass taste?
Kobe won that battle. 888-957-9570. Terrell Owens going at Debo Samuel? I don't think there was much tongue. When you say tongue-in-cheek, you're laughing about it. I did not hear him laughing when he said tongue-in-cheek.
He chuckled. Stop instigating.
Just saying. I'm just telling you what I heard.
We're just high-level hating. Is what we're
I'm doing. Indifferent on the situation. Yeah. I'm agnostic. I'm allowing it to play out.
My final thought is... just because life always just seems to sync up in such fun ways. Literally, as soon as we got done with that Colorado conversation, we got the Pat McAfee show up here in the producer studio. And he's got Julian Juju Lewis, who is the number two quarterback in this year's recruiting class. And the dude commits to Colorado literally right as we finish our Colorado conversation. Such a fun life. I wonder what this kid's going to do, though, once Deion leaves Colorado after this season, though.
Is he really leaving after the season?
Well, yeah, he's going to take over the Cowboys. Or maybe he's going to go and take up that trailer park in Tallahassee.
If I was the Raiders, I think it would be a huge splash in terms of PR. I would do it, but it would be rife with risk.
I'd much rather have Mike Vrabel, who's been linked to the Raiders the last few days.
I didn't know that. That's a good move. I like him in Chicago, too.
Well, Tom Brady's going to be a lot more involved in part of that ownership stake. I think he's going to take a huge role in finding the next head coach. And according to my sources, he wasn't very high on the AP hiring last year, making him full-time.
Well, we're talking blow out the entire offensive staff like 7 weeks later.
Warriors played 14 games. They're 11-3. Draymond Green has played in all 14 games. 51 to go for the House
prime
of Prime
Rib season, baby.
51 to go.
Just one dish.
51 to go.
And all of us, too.
You agreed to all of them.
Yes.
So, Shasky.
Wait, time out.
Paid your mortgage on the third house.
Time out. I'm remodeling the second one. With the third. I did not say all three of them.
Yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. You said the whole show. You did. Sometimes you
pretty
just
sure that was the case. Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes
60 games.
Sometimes you 65. We could move it to 60.
We can move to 60.
We can move to 60 if you want. Yeah. I mean,
65 is great. I like where I stand.
Sometimes you say things, and I'm like, boy, Shasky, you shouldn't say that. But you said it. All of us are going to House of Pride Rib, baby. On Shasky's credit card. Now, that's why I brought you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Don't be a high-level hater, folks. Be nice. Steiny Guru next.